listeners. This is Dr. Taylor Hartman with Very Best of Living. I'm with my great friend, Kat Larson.
Hello, Taylor.
How are you? For a moment there, I thought, I am with you, right? You are here. Okay.
I like that pause. It seems more impressive. Like you step in.
It does it make you sound, you sound more important. That was very good. Well, it's good to hear your voice.
You too.
So we got a fun one today. We're going to talk about relationships. I've been dealing with some individuals lately that I just think they're terrific. They, you know, my clients are, they're so supportive of allowing me to grow through them, to be part of their world and their growth. And they teach me things all the time. And I had this one client this week made a comment. She had heard this quote, which I liked very much. It said, "We compete in our strengths and we connect in our vulnerabilities." So we compete in our strengths, but we connect in our vulnerabilities. So I want to talk today a little bit about opposites attract. Mm-hmm. It's funny, when I wrote the color code, the people code, I don't know why it's still not clear. It's not rocket science, fans. Trust me. People come with their personality. I don't know why we are so unable to get that clear in our lives, but I still right. see people all the time saying, your personality is not fixed till you're 5, or it doesn't come with you, figure it out all here. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Ask any woman that's given birth to more than one child, and she will tell you they were not the same in the womb.
Right.
They come. Well, the same is true of our relationships. They're all different. They all evolve differently. They all have their own identities. And so when I work with couples, I love the color code piece. It's so insightful. Like it's like mind reading. I feel like I can give them insight much quicker when I have that piece at my discretion. But I've come to realize that opposites attract. We fight that one also. People say, well, why do you marry someone you're going to fight with the rest of your life? Well, what fun would marriage be if you didn't? And then there are
exactly.
people. But I had a teacher at college. She goes, no, you don't understand. The reason we like to fight is because the makeup sex is the best after that.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
So it's all about your perspective. But I want to talk about how opposites attract and they create our vulnerabilities. Like there's things that I would never have seen about myself had I not married Gene, who is the opposite of me. I would not have.
And like what?
Like how caring she is. Like, I thought I was caring. And I would see the depth at which she would go. Literally, I would tell my kids, call mom, tell her, because she'll remember everything you say. If you tell me, I'll forget. And I know that's true. Like the depth of her caring. Number two, her ability to focus. Like she will stay on something like you can't even imagine. I'm like, where's the ice cream break? When are we going to do something different, right? She's like, no. It's unbelievable. We do these phenomenal vacations and trips all the time. I am the instigator. There's no question. I'll always find the money to pay for it. I love to go. I'll find the time to get off. But I would never put the time she puts into preparing it. Never in a million years. And it makes it so much better. Because she does all the research and she knows how to get the tickets. And it's so the opposite. We bring opposites, right, in our life. And that's the thing she's taught
yes.
me. There's some great things she's taught me that I could not have done on my own. And what's really sad for her is as we parented, I am the good guy. She's the bad cop. I'm the good cop. I mean, and so in almost every family, there's a good cop and a bad cop. Almost everyone.
Yeah.
And thank goodness you have both. I mean, kids, they don't necessarily like the bad cop. Like they're like the good cop, but the good cop knows without the bad cop, their kids would be a mess. Like they know
yes.
that. So I don't know. I love the opposites attract thing. And I think we have to, I always say this, you get exactly what you deserve when you marry. So I think what you get is someone who lives on the level of life you live. I don't mean every aspect of it, but the quality of life you are is what you marry into as well. So I'll often find people that are petty. They both are equally petty in the relationship. They just demonstrate it differently. Or people that are equally forgiving and loving and take the high road. They do it differently, but they both do it. That's what I'm saying. So
yeah, opposites. Sometimes that takes a while to see though.
Oh yeah, you don't.
You know?
You're right. I agree. I agree.
I mean, sometimes you can, you know, I mean, I've even been in a situation where you thought something and my responsibility, I mean, I get that it was my responsibility because I wasn't looking for it. But then all of a sudden, you know, 6 months later, you're like, oh.
What was I doing? Well, all right, let me take you to your first husband. Okay, I want to ask you this. Why did you marry him? What is it he brought you that made you marry him?
Oh, he was a grounding force for sure. I was all over the place.
Excellent. What you just said was so powerful. So the truth of the matter was you needed grounding. You didn't bring it on your own, right? And it's because you didn't bring that, he brought that, right?
Yes.
But as you got more charactered and more grounded, guess what?
Yep. That's right.
So I'm sure he felt cheated. Like, well, what's this about? Like, I'm the same. I've always been, but you evolved.
Yes, and then you end up, you know, it really is hard because he's such a great guy.
Absolutely.
And it's so hard because once you realize that thing is that you can do it for yourself.
Yes.
That goes away from the relationship, and there was nothing else there.
No. That's a great point. And that's sad. That's scary and it's sad.
Yes. And that was my fault.
Well, it is your fault. No, it is your fault. The part that's so interesting about that is he didn't do anything different. He's just exactly who he was, right? But you evolved. And I love your ownership and I love your ability to love him and appreciate who he is and what he is. It just was no longer right for you.
Right.
And you gave the opportunity. I remember that. Like you were like, no, I would love it if it could be us. But that wasn't in the cards for him. So it had to go, right?
Right, exactly.
But I think people don't personalize it so much, everyone. Just own that at the time you married, you have responsibility for why you did it. And then you can change. You can evolve. Things can grow. I mean, I've seen people, for example, that get caught up in money. It just owned them. They were not that way. But it caught like an addiction, right?
Yes.
And so you can't tell people, no, you made a commitment. You owe it now. But what you can say is you got to be committed to doing the right thing. That's what you're committed to.
Okay, so I have a question for you. When you say opposites attract, when I become charactered, and we've talked about, you know, like what that looks like, that I can utilize the strengths in every color in my life, so I don't depend on, you know, I as a yellow, I'll never be a blue the way my husband is, but I can understand and learn and. But once I fulfill that, is that still true? Do you know? Am I that opposites attract things? If I'm charactered, is it still opposites attract, or do you start looking for something different? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that a lot. Actually, you still have you bring different gifts, even though you're being charactered. You still bring different gifts. I mean, you said it best. Like I'll never be as blue, healthy blue as Gene is. You won't be as much as Paco is, and they won't be as healthy yellow as we are. And that's reality. So you still bring different gifts, even though you're charactered, right? So the opposite still, even to this day, people that I connect with that are very different than me, I find great value in. I get so much. I always said this, like having someone like you in my life who's like me in so many ways validates me. I need people like that. I want to know that I'm not like a lone wolf out here. Nobody else is like me. So that's really important, right? But you and I both know we would be limited if it was just us. Like we need other people's gifts to bring us more meaning in our lives. So having people like you is very important and very cool. And in a family, for example, if there's somebody who doesn't really find they fit anywhere, nobody, they don't fit in their family, that's a very painful place to be. But if you're all the same, you don't grow. You don't ever evolve. So I think it's really cool to look for the diversity. And then more importantly, how do you deal with it, embrace it, accept it? So like one example I'm going to give you, and we'll talk about this for a minute. I've got these couples, it's reds and blues, right? A couple of them. So the blue is very ethereal. And by that, I mean, they want life to have purpose and meaning. They want intimacy. They want long chats. They want to reveal. They want to share. And then in these relationships, anyway, the reds are very pragmatic. They pay the bills. They get the jobs done. They take care of business. Both of them are, in my mind, critical. They're both very, very important to the life process. Like, for example, an artist that doesn't pay their bills, I'm not impressed with. You're not growing up. You're not being responsible. But the person that pays her bills but has no meaning in their life, I'm not impressed with either. So in a couple, when there's one that wants more of the purpose and meaning, and the other one is more of the matter of fact, get things done, take care of business. If you can't appreciate that about each other, you'll actually starve each other out. You'll make it so that it's not a positive. And I can have the exact same kind of couple, right? One couple is irritated all the time by the fact that their spouse doesn't operate in life like they do. And another couple, they're like so appreciative of the differences. So when you look at your relationships, ask yourself, am I a good blend of the two, or am I more the pragmatist, or am I more the ethereal?
Oh, that's good. So when we're talking, when you're looking at this and somebody isn't getting their needs met, ask that question first.
Yep. That's
like,
first.
So do this relationship for me, because I think this is the hardest one, or at least at least my friends, family, you know, I have a couple people in my life, blues, that are married to whites.
Yeah.
They don't talk. They don't fight. I don't know if they care, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about that in that same stage that you just talked about, the red and the blue.
Okay. So then you would say, first of all, what is it I bring to you in this relationship? What do I bring to you? And is it different than what I brought to you when we first got together? Like, get some ownership around whether you're holding up your end of the bargain, or maybe they see it differently, right? And then I would say to them, here's what I really was, when I first was with you, here's what I was looking for, and this is what I want us to evolve more into. And have the honest conversation. I think if you're living in your comfort zone, you're not living. Like, true living starts where comfort zones end. So if you're a blue and a white in a relationship, it would be so healthy for the white to say, I'm just going to start engaging my blue spouse with questions. I'm going to ask more about their day. I'm going to ask how they felt about that when this happened. I'm going to do those. I would never do that. I don't do it for myself, but I love this person and they care that I care about those things. And then if you're the blue and you have a white spouse, you'd be saying, I love the fact that you just take care of business, or I love the fact that you are a daydreamer. You think about things that are so different than I would ever come up with on my own. And how much space do you need? Like, what would help you feel more fulfilled? Do you like to sit for like an hour or so, just not have anyone bother you? And they'd say, yes, of course. And you say, okay.
Okay, so, could you make that two?
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing. Raise it up about two. But then you say to them, okay, so tell me about that. Like, what does that feel like to you? And how could we blend the two of us in a way that it works for both of us? Those dialogues, if people are willing to stretch, it makes it phenomenal. I mean, obviously the blue is now saying to the white, I don't want you being so quiet. And the white is saying to the blue, I don't want you always in my ear talking about stuff.
Yes.
But the truth of the matter is, you married them because what? What was it you got from them? What did they bring to you, right? And I do think whites can learn to share more. And I think blues can learn to be quiet. I love that the awareness of what made us different and how can I enhance the experience for you. That's what you're trying to do.
Yeah, and it does come down to, as you're talking and you're looking at this need for connection.
Yep.
And every human has it. Now, blues probably have it more than whites, but that white has it. So you're talking about kind of drilling down into the connection and the best way to do it, which is ultimately getting over yourself, saying, it's not going to be my way.
Yes.
I got to drill down and I got to find the way that I can connect with this guy in this white world.
Yep.
And not worry about, but he doesn't do this.
Right.
So I'm just going to keep my focus on, I'm going to do this for him and see what results. Is that a good equation for like happy, like get to a successful relationship?
Well, yeah. Well, the blue and a white, for example, the blue's got to, they got to rethink their expectations. Like, those expectations for blues drive them crazy. They have expectations for everybody, not just themselves, everybody. And by having those, they're making it impossible to be happy because no one meets them ever. So, of course, how does somebody feel when they are with somebody they know they can never meet their expectation? They feel
so much less than.
Right, less than, exactly. And they can actually turn to anger, right? So I think it's much more important, like if you're dealing with a white, you've got to understand that they crave their independence and kindness rules today. Now, they can be unkind to you by being silently stubborn and not sharing anything, but you cannot be unkind to them or you lose them. Can't go there. So, I mean, it's the same thing with blues. I mean, they would tell you that I need integrity. Like, I can deal with anything as long as I know you're loyal. But if you're not loyal, it doesn't matter what else you do. At one point, it'll turn on me. I can't do this. So everybody's got their thing they need. That if you can't stretch to that, you'll not make the diversity work very well at all, right? And on the other hand, Kat, petty people making it all about themselves, like the white that never talks. Like, I remember this guy that literally, we had a family camp every year, and he was there reading books everywhere he went. He walked reading books. He didn't spend a second with his family, not one. He was the father of like four kids. Everything was about him doing his own reading. And I thought to myself, years later, I've thought about, I mean, how empty was that life in that he never stretched beyond just his comfort zone of being quiet and reading books. That's all he did. Or someone that's very controlling, like their whole life, they're about controlling others, right? In fact, I have a couple right now I'm working with, and they're blue. She's blue and he's white. And it's very interesting. She's finally coming to realize that I have spent my entire married life trying to fix him. And he was a mess. I agree. He was a mess. But the way she went about it didn't do a thing for him. And now she said, I'm intrigued by the fact that I don't have him to fix anymore. And it's like, now what do I do? Like, I've been so busy focusing on him. So for the blue that's so busy controlling and fixing everybody else, their growth actually starts when they say, okay, you know what? I'm leaving you in God's hands. I'm going to start working on me. I got plenty of things I can develop and become if I just work on me, but I don't do that. I work on you, figuring you out, fixing you. So it's those kind of things, right?
It's funny. I had this conversation, you know, just, and you know, all you can do is like, as I'm talking to you, as I know people do with it, that you just start looking and you kind of start going through those things in your life and those moments and times when you go, you know, I remember saying to my husband, to Paco, I said, you know, I have trained him in a certain way, like, because he is a blue white and he pleases and he wants, he just wants to be, it to be okay.
100%.
Right?
Yep.
And so he defers all the time, right? So this has come up in our relationship.
Yes.
And we just talked about this yesterday. Yes. And by the way, everybody listening and Taylor, I do ask him if it's okay if we talk about these things. And he said, absolutely. So I'm not airing laundry that he's not aware of. It was interesting because all of a sudden he was like, well, what do you want? Well, I don't care. It's up to you.
Yes.
And I started being unattracted to that.
Yeah, right.
Like, I was like, that is so unattractive to me.
Yep.
I'm in love with him and attracted to him, but it was like, ugh.
No.
You know?
No. I
said, what am I doing? Mm. And as you're talking about these things and things that you set up and you don't go, quit act, you know, because my first, really, actually, the first time I was like, don't do that. And then I'm like, oh, Kathy.
Yeah.
You have trained him beautifully to do that. What are you doing?
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yes, that's so good. You took ownership finally. You're so busy beating him up, but you're going, I did it. That's so.
Yes.
But look what the beauty is. The beauty is you have the power to change it, right? As long as it's about him, he's doing it, right? You can't do a thing about it. I mean, for you to go that far enough to actually see, oh, my gosh, I created this. That's really humble. And very few people can actually own, it was me. I did this. Like, I'll see blue people be critical, for example, and their spouse stops talking. And they're like, I cannot believe he's so rude. He doesn't even talk to me anymore. And the spouse will say, well, every time I talk to you, you criticize me. And she's like, well, I did that because you needed this. And then off she'll go. And I'm like, you're missing the whole point here. You're the one that wants.
Because I love you.
Yes. Oh, but yes, because I love you. That's why I'm so critical. And what I'm saying is, wait a minute, whoa, you're the blue. You want the connection and you're the one making it not happen. Do you understand that? Yeah, but if he would do, and I said, stop right there. You're not hearing me at all. You're saying you want this. And I'm saying everything you do prevents it from happening. What are you going to do about that? And honestly, Kat, some people like you would be humble enough to go, I've never, ever seen that before. And others will say, you know what? You really don't get what it's like to live with him. And that's it. Off we go. And I'm like, okay, some people are ready to grow and some people aren't ready to grow. But every color, like yellows, by making it very self-centered, all about us, we can live very limited lives and never, ever own it. Never own it. So everybody's got their right? Everyone's got their.
But as a yellow, like, I don't know if anybody's done this, but one of the things was like, I realized as a yellow, that I wanted my husband to be the life of the party.
Oh,
my blue-white.
Yes, good luck with that
my
one.
My blue-white husband.
And he's supposed to compete with you? Are you kidding me? Not going to happen in this lifetime.
Well, and then I would be like, you're no fun. You're no fun.
Yes, yes, beating him up. Beating him up for being this wonderful, kind, gentle man. Oh my gosh, that is hysterical.
It's like, you know, and it's like quite, you know, and I think what I was, it was very selfish actually. And it was a thing I hated about myself, which is like, I wanted to look like, oh, she's got a great husband.
Yes.
Or she's got a funny husband. Or look
yes.
at how great they are.
Yes.
And
he reflects
when I realized
you.
What I was doing, I mean, you know, it's so vain. It's just so
it is.
Stupidly vain.
Oh, it's so good.
You stop and go. Oh, I mean, I threw up in my mouth. I even think about it sometimes and I cringe.
Like, well, and just for our listeners, so you understand what's happening psychologically. So Kat was saying, basically, I let other people own me. I wanted them to see this. Therefore, I would say that about me. That was the whole
yes.
point. And she goes, when she finally realized, I am destroying my husband, whom I love, for other people's acceptance of me. That's insanity. Why can't I just get right with me? And they can think whatever they want to think about this man. I adore him. That's great insight. And but you're right, Kat. In the moment, you're not thinking that way. You're thinking
no.
self-centered. That's that yellow thing. So it's
no.
it's very cool insight. I'm glad we had this conversation. I want our listeners to know relationships are where it's at. I think all life is about relationships. I still cannot explain to you how I struggle with customer service. To this day, I don't get why people don't realize the money you lose by treating customers poorly. I do not understand that. Nordstrom, for example, does such a phenomenal job and they're still in business. Other companies I've worked with, it's just, they're just cheap and they don't trust and they don't believe. And so at the end of the day, what do? You stop going back. It's the same with personal relationships. I mean, once you feel like you're not important and you're always criticized and you're wrong, you'll find other outlets to enhance who you are. So hopefully we're all listening about what we're doing and how we're doing our lives that encourage people to want to come back and be part of our lives with us, just like we love being part of your life as our listeners. And Kat, always a joy, always a pleasure. And we'll be back next week. So thanks everybody for being with us. See you, Kat. Bye, everybody.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Hey, Color Code family, it's Kathy Larson. I want you to take down a number. I want you to put this in your contact list under the people code. The number is 385-526-2350. Again, 385-526-2350. Text the word VIP to that number and you'll get back from us a request for your name and your email. That way we'll be in touch with you on anything that's happening at the People Code, any offerings, exciting things that are coming up, and you can let us know what your needs are by texting us at that number. Look forward to staying connected even more. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.